Hey everybody, welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline and I am here today with Dr. V to talk a little bit about what is going on in Haiti right now. This is something that has been in the news just a little bit, but it might be kind of difficult to find. And so today, Dr. V just wanted to have an episode to kind of fill us all in on what's going on in Haiti. So first off, hello and welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
Glad you're here. So, okay, what's going on in Haiti? Fill us in.
You know, Haiti is perennially in trouble, and it's in more trouble now than usual. We're seeing lots of violence right now. The kidnappings for ransom are up 300%, and those are just the reported ones. Most are not even reported. Murder rates are skyrocketing. The country is really at a standstill. And a lot of this is coming from the fact that the president is rewriting the Constitution. Now, the Constitution of Haiti is rewritten fairly frequently. So it's not like the United States that, you know, 1776 and we're one and done kind of thing. It's rewritten periodically. So this particular rewriting is actually sanctioned by the U.S. State Department. We're in contact with the State Department, and they had proposed or had encouraged the present government of Haiti to rewrite their constitution. And one of the problems with the former constitution, or the one that's still in power, is that it gives a lot of power to the parliament. And the reason they did that is because Haiti has had quite a few dictators in the past. And in order to keep a president from becoming a dictator, they put more power in the parliament. One of the problems has been, though, that there are corrupt officials in the parliament. And with just a very small number of parliamentarians, they can shut down any plan that the president has to try to make the country better. So there's been a certain number of parliamentarians who have done that frequently over the years and have really thwarted the progress to be made in Haiti through the government. Now, the history is that about a year and a half ago, the president of Haiti dissolved parliament. And so that aspect has been gone. More specifically, he just didn't reappoint parliament. And so it's his job to reappoint them every year. And he just failed to do so, which was his way of getting rid of the problem. Now, that's got lots of problems. You can understand that that's exactly what dictators do, and that's when the country devolves into a dictatorship, when other aspects of leadership in the country are done away with. This particular president, I don't think, has that in mind. He seems to be a good guy. He seems to be caring about the country. And so I think this is all done in good faith. But this rewrite of the Constitution, we really don't know what's in it. And even last time I was visiting with our U.S. State Department, they said they didn't know what was in it. And so they are not pressuring the president to add any specific details. They are not in on the talks. They're not in on the rewriting. They wanted to make that very clear that this is not something that is pushed by the State Department. I think they're in favor of the idea, but it's not something that they are pushing for. So this rewriting of the Constitution has people upset. And so a lot of people think in Haiti that this is going to push Haiti into another dictatorship, sort of a single ruler type problem where human rights, you know, will be abused and the freedoms that people enjoy will be taken away. I don't think that's going to be the case, but that is one of the things they're worried about. So one of the problems with dissolving Parliament is that Parliament is in charge of the various ministries. And so you have the Ministry of Health, you have the Ministry of Justice, things like that, things we would call departments in the United States, they call ministries. And without representation in Parliament with these ministries, the ministries don't get funding. And so, for instance, the police have not been paid in a long time. This puts them at an extreme disadvantage because they're going to be more open to bribes because they have to put food on the table too. And so what we're seeing is a weakening of the police in Haiti, and that's why we're seeing an increase in violence. We're seeing gang activity increase dramatically because they know they just don't have the police to provide any kind of counterpoise to their efforts. And so it's an extreme problem, and I think that Americans need to hear that it's extremely dangerous in Haiti right now. And there's actually a video of a short-term missions group, apparently Americans, in Haiti recently, just last week. And I can't express how bad of an idea that is. That is absolutely beyond the pale a bad idea. And here's why. You're going to get in trouble with kidnappings, with gang violence. You're completely open to that. And there's nobody there who will protect you. You need to understand that you're not in the United States anymore. And Haiti does not have the capacity to do anything to protect you. Likewise, the U.S. Embassy does not have the capacity to protect you. So a lot of people think that if they get into trouble, the U.S. Embassy is going to be come riding in on a white horse and save them. That is absolutely not the case. And the U.S. Embassy makes that very clear, that they do not have a police force that they can come in and get Americans out of trouble. Now, if you're in jail, they can help you with lawyers and things like that, but only through a legal means. And so I would urge everyone to check the State Department warnings about countries. Haiti is the highest level warning that's possible. It's actually in the same category as Afghanistan and North Korea. And so you need to understand that Haiti is extremely violent. It is extremely unfriendly place right now. And you're putting yourself at extreme risk by going over. And I must add that you're also, the risk-benefit ratio is just really skewed in this particular equation because you're not benefiting the Haitian people to any extent. Measurable when you go over there in a situation like this, and you're putting yourself at extreme risk for no reason. And so I just really want to put that in there, that this extremely violent, extremely dangerous, that the Haitians themselves are leaving in droves because of the violence, and long-term missionaries are also leaving because they can't maintain any semblance of security in that area. So Haiti is in a very difficult situation. The referendum on the Constitution was supposed to be ratified on June 27th. However, that date has been rescinded and no future date has been set because of the violence, and they felt like it might escalate violence even more. So Haiti is really in limbo. The United Nations Security Force is no longer there. And so there's no one from the outside providing any modicum of security in the country. And so people really need to understand that Haiti is in dire straits. And again, American short-term missionaries absolutely do not, under any circumstance, need to go to Haiti at this time. And so it's a real problem in Haiti. We really need to be praying for Haiti, for the Haitians themselves, for the government of Haiti. We know God is in control, and we know that God controls all the governments. And so even if we see the government of Haiti as being just sort of hanging by a thread, God already knows the outcome. We don't, but He does. And so we want to really stress that people need to pray for Haiti, pray that this constitutional crisis will pass, and whatever God's will is for that will be had, and that peace can be restored to the island nation of Haiti.
Absolutely. You had mentioned a little bit earlier about the dictatorship and how that's kind of a worry of something that could happen. Can you tell us a little bit more about Haiti's history of having dictators?
That's a great question. You know, Haiti is the second oldest democracy in the world. And so Haiti actually became a democracy in 1804 when the French left. And so it has had a long history of democratic rule, but it has also had a long history of rule by dictators. And we've seen those recently. Aristide is one, a name that probably most people who keep up with Haiti know. He was elected president twice and was deposed twice as a dictator. And then the Duvalier family, they were sort of presidents for life, or one dictator is another man's president, you know, and so it's a little hard to define. But Papa Doc Duvalier, the dad, started as president and then devolved as dictator in the late 50s. And then his son, Baby Doc, as he was affectionately known, took his place and ruled for a long time as well. So Haiti has got a long history of dictatorships.
Mm-hmm. So what would be best case scenario for moving forward?
Well, that's a hard question. My goodness. You know, the things that need to happen are that security has got to be restored. The gangs have got to be, their power needs to be taken away. They need to be jailed. The police need to be strong again. People can't even go to the marketplace without fear of assault or kidnapping. And so the entire country is really destabilized. And so that's the first priority, is that security needs to be restored. Now, how that's done is the million-dollar question. You can tie this loss of security to the UN pulling out in 2017. So they pulled out in the fall, and very soon the gangs became more national in orientation, more like cartels, not just local gangs, because their power increased. And they had a coalition of forces that came together, and that has been the problem. So I personally am in favor of the United Nations coming back. I think there's always problems, you know, with the United Nations, but they do provide security. They did provide adequate security. They helped train the police force, and then they actually augmented the police force. And so I think that would be the most rapid way to have that happen. Another option is for, basically a hegemon type relationship, where another country basically took over and provided the leadership and the security for Haiti. I think that probably would not be welcomed by Haitians. They tend to be a pretty fiercely independent group. However, they have really struggled to rule themselves well, and I think it's pretty clear from the history of Haiti that's been a real problem. So the how is very complicated. So security needs to be restored. Infrastructure, number two, infrastructure has got to be built. People are without food now because the port is operating at partial capacity due to COVID-19 and due to the security problems. Fuel is scarce because the gangs are controlling some of the storage depots of fuel. And so infrastructure has got to be built. It's got to be protected. The people need clean water. They need adequate food, and they need medical care. And once security is established, those kinds of things can also be built up, and people can actually get to the market. They can get to the hospital without fear. And so that infrastructure build is extremely expensive. And in a country like Haiti that has so much corruption, it's difficult because very little of the money actually gets to the people. And so the things that need to happen are fairly easy to determine. The how is very, very difficult. And I think we have seen in Haiti efforts for decades and decades and decades by the United States and others to provide funding for infrastructure that have effectively produced no help for the people. And so I think that there needs to be some kind of really sea change that takes place in how Haiti is governed. The danger, if we don't, is that Haiti will completely devolve. It might even become radicalized. It is a country that is ripe for radicalization. The people are very poor. They're you know, very upset with the way things are going. They're trying to get out. And radicalization of Haiti would be a very big security risk for the United States because Haiti's in our backyard. It is a simple flight from Port-au-Prince to Miami. And so you're talking about a country in our backyard that could become a radicalized power. That's what happens when a state is allowed to go for decades and decades with low security expectations and low infrastructure expectations.
So like you had mentioned earlier, Parliament has been dissolved. The Constitution is being rewritten. Is there going to be a presidential election anytime soon?
Yes. And so this has been part of the consternation in Haiti. Part of the problem that people are upset about is the Haiti presidential term is 5 years. And some people think that this president's term started a year before it actually started. There was a failed election cycle before this president, President Moïse, was elected. And for a year, there was an interim president. He was an appointed guy. And some people take that year as part of President Moïse's presidential election cycle. It's a little hard for me to get there. That doesn't make any sense to me. His date actually started at the appropriate time. He thinks that he also is started at that time. And so a lot of people wanted him ousted last year because they added in that interim year that I don't think anybody else recognizes. That's part of the violence that's being seen right now and the unrest. But presidential elections are scheduled for the fall. And this is going to be a big test. It's going to be a big sign to see if he's going to continue as an unelected president or if he's going to step down. By Haitian law, according to the present constitution, he can't serve again until another election cycle exists. So he could serve 5 years, take 5 years off, serve a second 5 years. And so it's going to be interesting to see, and it's sort of going to be a telegraph to the world of what his intentions are. If he stays in power, that could forebode poorly, you know, for the nation of Haiti.
Or if he changes the constitution to
right
however he wants it to be.
Right.
So my question is, if parliament has been dissolved, who is there another power that is going to approve of the constitution that he has written, or is it just, I wrote this and I like it and it is what it is?
That's one of the problems. You know, parliament as it existed before it was dissolved probably wouldn't approve a constitutional change that limits their own power. You know, that's typically not the way that works. And so in parliament has to approve a constitutional change, but there's not one. And so you've got this big question in the air, what's going to happen? So some of the possibilities that exist are that perhaps he's not going to have a parliamentarian system. So this is a system like France has, sort of like England has. It's a little closer to French, the French system, but a parliamentarian system. Whereas in the United States, we have a congressional system, which is a representative system. And so it may be, nobody knows except for him, I guess. It may be that he's going to rewrite this constitution, and instead of having a prime minister, he may have a vice president. That's a possibility. He may have a president, vice president, Congress, sort of like we have in the United States. We don't know. The State Department tells me that they don't know either. And so that it's a difficult question to really answer. But it may be that he rewrites it, has Congress put together, and then they vote on the Constitution. It none of it really has a very sensible answer, you know, because you look at it and you think, don't see how that works. But somehow he's got a play on, I guess.
No matter how you look at it, it's a mess.
It's a very, very big mess. And, you know, the problem is that the people who suffer the most are the poor in Haiti. And so you've got people who are barely getting by on a good day, and now you superimpose all this turmoil in the government, you superimpose the gangs gaining control, and people are hungry. We're seeing a 40% increase in child starvation in our area. It's difficult for us to keep up with that level of nutritional supplementation because of shipping difficulties and the gangs attacking our supply lines and things like that. You know, so it's a real challenge to keep up with that. So the poor are really suffering, as they do in most situations that are bad. And we need to pray that the Lord, who cares about the poor, the Lord is very intentional in his caring and his love of the poor, as he says over and over, that he will arise and calm this down, and so that the poor can live and live life abundantly.
Absolutely. Well, what, other than obviously pray, what are some things that we can do to help out, especially hearing that there's a 40% increase of starvation for children under 5? I mean, that's alarming. So what are some things that we can do stateside to help especially alleviate that?
Well, there are a lot of things. We purchase most of the food that we distribute. In fact, we purchase all of it, whether it's locally or it's shipped in. Unfortunately, there's not enough food grown in Haiti for us to distribute. And so our costs for feeding these children, we estimate 10,000 children a day need to be fed. Our costs are going up. And so we are asking people to donate to our feeding program so that we can increase the number of children that we feed every day. And this is very important. You know, in our feeding program, we target the children who are at most risk. And so we actually weigh and measure these children every quarter. We know exactly where they are on the growth curve. We know if they're stunted, if they're way behind in their height. We also know if they have what's called wasting or being very far behind in their weight. And we increase their caloric intake based on that. And so we approach this with a high degree of medical science. We try to provide at least 50% of their daily caloric needs with our feeding program. And that is that's a large amount. You know, if you take a 16-year-old boy, he's going to need about 1,800 calories on a baseline for him to exist. Now, you add into that a deficit, perhaps, of 600 calories a day. Well, now you're talking about 2,400 calories a day that this child needs just to catch up, not to get ahead, just to catch up. And so it takes a lot. You know, you think about supplying that level of caloric intake to 10,000 children. That is a huge amount of food. So we need about 30 tons up to 45 tons of food a month in Haiti. We buy as much as we can locally to stimulate the economy, but the rest of it has to be shipped in. And so we are asking for people to partner with us, come alongside us. You can see the weight gain statistics on our website. We publish all these statistics as the children gain weight. They get vitamins every day. They're also treated for parasites quarterly, which is very important. It's the WHO standard. And so we go by these WHO standards that really work. They're scientifically proven, and we see tremendous impact. We also take care of all of these kids medically. So if these kids have an earache, pneumonia, something like that, a broken arm, we care for all of that, take care of all of that free of charge. So these children have access to excellent medical care as well.
Mm. So you said that there are about 10,000 children in the area that need to be fed every single day. So what number are y'all up to now?
We are up to 6,400 a day right now. So we've just doubled over the last 4 or 5 months. We've doubled our feeding program from 3,200 to 6,400, but we've still got a ways to go. We need to at least get to 10,000, and we can do it. We've got the infrastructure to do it. We've got the manpower to do it. We've got the facilities. It's just we need to have more funding so that we can purchase the food.
Mm. Well, 6,400 is certainly something to celebrate, especially since it's been doubled. But knowing that we still have a ways to go is certainly something that we want to accomplish. So,
right.
Wow. Well, that is a lot. And I know it's certainly something that is a heavy topic, but one of the things that we want to encourage is, even though we are not bringing down teams, nor will we for the foreseeable future, we want to emphasize that there are still a lot of ways that you can help in Haiti, that you can see the poor have abundant life. And so we want to encourage you and challenge you to maybe rethink some things a little bit, that if you're not able to go, that there still are ways to help. So please go check out our website, livebeyond.org, to learn a little bit more about Live Beyond and what we do, as well as the ways that you can get involved and help. But that is it for today's episode. Dr. V, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, go check out our website. Please consider donating if you feel like it's been put on your heart. But we hope you have a fantastic day and week, and go out and live beyond.